The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Thank you for joining us today. I am your host, Gary Puckett. And today my guest is your superintendent, Dr. Andrew Jackson. Our podcast comes to you on our nationwide media network. We operate with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We furnish on-demand media programming for over 3,300 small communities across the nation. We offer the Super Chat show format for school districts anywhere in the country. However, this edition is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Andrew, welcome back to another Super Chat. It's good to have you on. You know, I was hoping you could provide our listeners with an update on phase two of your building project. What can you tell us there?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. Thank you for the question. As our listeners will probably remember, we've talked about this a few times, so we continue to work towards the bids that are coming up here in late summer and early fall. What's currently happening is you kind of narrow down the scope and you provide a set of drawings and by Lancer Associates and then Maxwell provide budget numbers. And so we continue to refine it. We just got finished with what's called the design development phase. So going back a little bit, we have the original feasibility where the architects came in with the engineers and looked at all of our systems and what needs upgraded and what we can improve upon. Then you go through a schematic design where you narrow it a little bit and now you do design development and it kind of refines it a little more. So we just got the budget documents recently with the estimates and it's still within the maximum amount that the board agreed to borrow and can spend on this project. So we're excited that we're probably going to be able to do all the different items. And I just kind of want to take an opportunity to give the listeners an update on kind of where we stand with this project. As you'll likely remember, it's mostly mechanical. So all the rooftop units of the high school are being replaced, which is nearly 40 of them. All the unit ventilators at Summit Elementary School are being replaced, which are the classroom units that provide the fresh air and the air conditioning and heating, along with new boilers and some other work at the other elementary schools as well. The only school that's not getting mechanical work is the middle school because we just did all that. But the total estimate right now is just over $15 million. So the overall budget for this building project in terms of construction is right around $32 million. So nearly half of it is the mechanical work at $15.2 million. Now, again, these are estimates. So ultimately, the bids will come in. We're going to bid it in a couple cycles in August and again in October. And once those bids are received and approved, that's when we know the actual cost. But right now, these are the estimates at about $15.2 million for mechanicals at four out of the five buildings out of the total $32 million. Another large portion of this is what we're calling the site safety and envelope items. So, for example, new windows at Bright Elementary School, there's a little bit of the flat roof that didn't get replaced, so that's being taken care of at Bright Elementary School. We're redoing some asphalt, some sidewalks that need replaced. Here at the high school, we're redoing the front entrance design where the drop-off is because we've noticed since COVID we have more parents dropping students off here at the high school, and so we're not able to stack those cars during dismissal, so we're redoing that piece of it plus getting new asphalt as well. All those items is about $7.5 million, so that gets us up to about $22.8 million just for those two basic necessities, right? Those are the asphalt, the concrete, the mechanicals, the plumbing, you know, redoing some restrooms, things like that, the rooftop units. And then we're looking at some facility upgrades, and we're excited about that as well. At the high school, we're going to redo the cafeteria serving area and kitchen, similar to the middle school. So a lot of our middle school students that are coming up to the high school will see much more of a food court kind of atmosphere where they'll have stations to select different types of food from. So that's in the project. We are also looking at our library and redoing our library with a few things. One, it's going to be more of a lounge kind of look for our students, and I think they will appreciate that. But we're also adding a coffee shop where our special ed department and some of those students will run a coffee shop out of the library space, and you'll be able to access that from within the library or outside the library in the hallway as well. That program has been going on for several years, and they've been doing it on a cart. So this coming school year, they're going to have a temporary space back near the kitchen and gym area, and they're going to serve out of there. But then once the the library gets redone, they'll actually have kind of a coffee shop place and feel, and they'll have a kitchen in it with a window to order, and then they'll have some seating that students can sit there before, after school, or during a study hall or something like that. So we're excited about that piece as well. All three of our elementary schools will get digital signs. So similar to what the high school and middle school currently has, they will have some digital signs so that we can update those more regularly from our Wi-Fi units. So you can do it from the comfort of the office instead of having to go outside and work with those letters. And you'll be able to rotate various items as well, messages on those signs. And then finally, we have several alternates that we're looking at as well. Some of those alternates include a new maintenance facility where our maintenance guys just need like a small shop to do some small, you know, minor repairs where they can bring items to that shop. So we're looking at adding that. And right now the budget will allow for that. We're going to upgrade our soccer field to a turf field. And then we're also looking at adding a golf practice facility over by where the baseball area is. The reason for that is we added a middle school team, and it's really difficult to get middle school students and their clubs and equipment to a golf facility. So it'll just be a small green with some approaches and some bays to drive out of just a small kind of area. So they can use that for practice, but then also our PE students can use that as a PE unit as well. You know, we're very excited about all those options, excited that the budget appears that we're going to be able to do all those things. And we do have several alternates in case we have to back off of some things for the budget. But right now it looks like we're going to be able to do all those things that we were hoping to do.
That's excellent. And very comprehensive report, I might add. And I think listeners really need to hear the details of this. Very good. Well, you know, going into this new year coming up, we'll be here before we know it, you have new attendance expectations, and there's a tie-in to a countywide plan. Can you share the details of this with our listeners?
Yes, the board approved some changes to our attendance. I want to give a little bit of background information because I know that parents will have some concern about this, and I understand that, and more information will be coming out this summer. In fact, like you said, it's a countywide initiative, and it's spearheaded by Judge Neckengard and the probation department down there regarding truancy and absenteeism. What happened is the state legislature got involved and was being concerned about the number of students who are not attending school on a regular basis. There's a term for it at the state level called chronic absenteeism, and it's basically any student who is absent more than 10 school days a year is labeled as chronically absent. So that's for any reason. It can be a medical surgery. It can be having your tonsils removed. It can, you know, have a broken leg and you have to be in the hospital for a few days. I mean, it's any reason whatsoever is being absent from school. The state legislature stepped in because 40% of kids across the state are considered chronically absent. So that means 40% of students across the state of Indiana are absent from school 10 or more times, and that's been consistent ever since 2020 when we came back. So they stepped in. There is a compulsory attendance law that requires attendance. So if you are a child in Indiana, you are required to go to school. That's a state law. It can be a public school, private school, or you can homeschool. But you have to do one of those things. And so because they require and they have the compulsory attendance law, they can make changes to that law as well. So they wanted us to really tackle absenteeism, and then particularly truancy, which is a part of absenteeism where you're absent a large number of days or you're just missing from school without any kind of parent notification. So what's going to change in terms of for our parents, our board voted to limit the number of parent excused absences. What's going to happen for next school year, if you are an elementary student, grades K through 5, then parents are only allowed to call in that student absent 6 times a year. After that, it will be considered an unexcused absence. Now, that doesn't include a medical note. That's not a parent excused absence. That's a medical note. Or if you're going, you know, a funeral or some other, there's other excused absences besides just the parent excused absence. But once you reach that limit of 6, then it starts accumulating towards unexcused absences. And eventually, Dearborn County will get involved. And part of the state law is we have to have a elementary truancy prevention program in place. So that Dearborn County will get involved and they will provide support for the families, and DCS would get involved as well. After 12 unexcused absences, that's when DCS gets involved. And so it does take several before we get to that, but that's all going to be in the handbooks when students register, parents register, and they can see all that information. And I know there's going to be a press release countywide with more information, but I kind of want to get out ahead of that now for our parents to understand. At the high school level, it's similar, but it's 4 total. So parents can only call in a student 4 times. And at the high school, middle school, high school level, it's more about truancy. At the elementary level, it's more about really educational neglect and encouraging parents to bring their students to school. So it's something that the state legislature got involved in. We had to do something about it. There's a lot of counties in the area that are very similar to this. In fact, we modeled this after Ripley County, who's been doing this for 2 or 3 years. But now the state legislature kind of forced that we had to do something. So that's the direction we're moving in. I said more for our parents that are listening. It'll be more information will be coming later this summer.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is in the consistent interest of your mission of educating and the quality of the end result with students learning what they really need to have when they finally get to the end and graduate. I mean, like you said, a medical emergency is a medical emergency. It's not a parent excuse thing necessarily. I have been kind of hearing this drumbeat around the state about the counties getting involved and DCS and the courts in some cases. I kind of saw it coming, but you guys are up to speed and consistent with what the countywide initiative is going to work on. So this is all positive change, really. Let me switch gears on you. You will have open house events coming up. What details can you share regarding your key dates in general?
As much as we hate to think about this, we're about halfway through summer, and we start planning for next year back in January is when we start planning for next year. So for us, for central office administration and the building administrators and our administrative assistants, the start of the school year is just around the corner for us. So we will have first book days early August. So we'll have new student registration on Monday, July 29th from 8 to 3. And then book days will be Wednesday and Thursday, July 31st and August 1st from 11 to 6, and then Friday, August 2nd from 8 to 3. Now, book days are where you can come in and you can do online registration, which I'll talk about that in a second. So you don't have to come in at all, but a lot of students want to come in and see their classrooms. So those are opportunities for them to do that. Particularly, for example, we have brand new 6th graders coming to middle school. They'd like to kind of walk up there, kind of walk their schedule, see it, brand new freshmen. We do some other orientations as well, but that's an opportunity to come up here with your parents, with nothing scheduled, and you just kind of walk around and check it out, try out your locker. And then the following week is when school starts. So on August 5th and 6th are our teacher days, and August 7th is our first student day. August 5th will be our open house. So on that day, we'll have open houses at our elementary schools from 4 to 6, and our middle school, high school will be from 5 to 7. So we encourage everyone to come to the open house on August 5th, either from 4 to 6 or 5 to 7. And unlike the book days, on the open house, the teachers will be there. So that's an opportunity for students to meet their teachers before this first day of school on August 7th. So we're very excited to welcome back all of our students. Like I said, it's just around the corner. We're kind of the midway point of summer. So in about 5 weeks, we'll be welcoming all our students back.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting, and it's like, oh my gosh, we're here already, another year. I mean, I'm sure students are feeling it, but hopefully they're having a fun and safe, relaxing summer break. You know, going in another direction altogether again, I was wondering if you could provide our listeners with the latest update you have on online student registration. What can you explain? How will this work?
Yes. So I think most of our parents are familiar with this. We do online registration on PowerSchool. So on Monday, July 15th, PowerSchool will open back up. So you log into PowerSchool, the parent portal, which our parents are familiar with. And on the bottom left-hand corner, there's a little icon that says online registration. And then you click on that and you go through that same system where you update any kind of information we need updated, doctor's information, medical information. You sign off on the new handbooks that you've read them, all those approvals. This is required. We do have a problem with some of our parents not filling out the online registration. And part of that, there's some confusion. They don't think they have to do it because they maybe filled out one of those early forms for the pre-registration or for a new student or an in-district transfer. This is a separate final registration you have to do where we have the emergency contact information. We have your school messenger information for when you want phone calls, all those things. So it's required. It goes through the parent portal. For our new students and kindergarten students, those parents will receive a letter in the mail the week before. So that will be mailed out probably around July 8th. On that, we'll have directions on how to set up a new parent portal account. And you'll be able to set up your PowerSchool parent portal. So throughout the year, our parents know you can look at that for absences, for grades. You can click on a specific grade and it shows every assignment given for that grade. So it's a really nice tool. But then we also need all of our parents to log in sometime between the 15th of July and the start of school to register and get the updated information that we need.
Yeah. That is a very nice tool to have access to that detailed information. Well, Andrew, good information today. As we alluded to, summer break will be wrapping up before we know it. I want to thank you once again for joining me today here on Super Chat.
Thank you, Gary.
So I have been your host, Gary Puckett, and we are happy that you have opted in to listen today and plan to join us here monthly, year-round. So until our next show, this has been Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman-Dearborn Community Schools.